wisdom, the call of wisdom. And I just want to give a big thank you to our preaching team that did a wonderful job with our Amos series. Wonderful. And it was a great encouragement. And now we are beginning a journey through the book of Proverbs. And if you have gotten some of the emails and text messages, we have a daily devotion that we use through YouVersion that walks us through about a 15-minute journey and verse by verse through Proverbs. And so our goal of this series is that we will not only hear the call of wisdom, but that we will respond to the call of wisdom. So the title of today's message, the first part in this series, is entitled, Hear Wisdom. Hear Wisdom. And wisdom is applied knowledge. It's one thing to be filled up with this great IQ and this ability to store all of this information, but what a waste when knowledge is not applied. And the beauty of wisdom is available to all folks. And one of the things that I'm encouraged about, even if we're not an A student, God's wisdom is waiting to fill us and give us the strength to get through this thing called life. Wisdom is a skill for living. And as we look in the book of Proverbs, we will see a few things about wisdom. Wisdom is calling out. And the question today for all of us, are you listening for the call of wisdom? Why would God set us in this earth and not daily fill us with understanding and ability to live it to the highest degree? See, some people hear wisdom's call. They know it's there. They can hear it at a distance. They know if they just will settle for a minute, there's a voice of wisdom calling out. But then there's others that move to another level and they begin to listen to the call of wisdom. I heard someone describe it this way. It's like the difference between eating like a Milky Way bar or Three Musketeer. You know those little bite-sized Milky Ways, you know what I'm talking about, and Three Musketeers? And they make them really little now. And you know, that way you won't gain weight, right? Unless you sit with the whole bag. But when you put that piece of candy in your mouth and that how long does that Milky Way last or that Three Musketeer bite? Gone like that. And then the memory's gone. You forgot you had it. But you get a piece of hard candy, like Jolly Ranchers or something like that. Is that what you call it? Jolly Rancher? Rancher. Yeah, I knew I had something wrong there. And it savors. And you just kind of enjoy it throughout the journey. I have this habit that I picked up a while back when I was trying to get away from sugar. And I used to love Tic Tacs. I put a Tic Tac in my mouth and just keep it there. And then I realized that could cause some tooth decay. And someone told me, get a clove, a whole clove. You know what I'm talking about? Those things that you would put in your ham. And just leave it up there in your cheek area. And now and then you can just bite on it and it releases this wonderful flavor through your mouth. Well, that clove will last what? As long as you want it to last. And so wisdom is one of these blessings that God brings that we savor. And throughout our whole life, we will never gain enough, but we will gain what God has required if we will respond and listen to wisdom's call. Now, the book of Proverbs opens up in this unique way where Solomon addresses his son, and he wants his son to walk as a wise man. So one of the ways that we see wisdom distributed and given is through the relationship of a father to a son. And we understand this, though our earthly father may have messed up, our heavenly father will what? Never mess up. So we must be guarded to never project what our earthly father has done upon our heavenly father. And sometimes that's very difficult. Because when we are hurt, we have a tendency to display a response to others, especially others that have that similar role. But God will never fail us. And He is daily there to administer His word with understanding, to fill up our understanding of how we're to walk. And that walk is that walk of wisdom. Another thing about Proverbs is this. Proverbs is not a book of promises. It's a book of principles. And there's a big difference between promises and principles. We understand that, I believe there are three wisdom books. Ecclesiastes, Job, and Proverbs. And sometimes when I read Ecclesiastes, I'm like, man, does the Bible really say that? And then I look at the life of Job and I say, do I want a life like Job? But it reminds us that life is going to be unique for each of us. And we're going to meet challenges that we never wanted or desired. But they will come. But what God has provided is wisdom to navigate and to guide us and to empower us to get through better, not worse. So now we see this interesting other aspect of how wisdom is taught. Wisdom is seen as a lady of wisdom. And we see wisdom spoken of as she. And that would confuse me at times, but basically it was poetic in the sense that wisdom is a relationship. A relationship that is pursuing us and a relationship that demands our response. So when we see wisdom mentioned as a lady, it is a poetic way of reminding us that if we're going to be people that are wise, we must have a relationship with wisdom. Not just a knowledge, a distant understanding that it's there, but a daily growing relationship that is personal. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 20. Wisdom cries aloud in the street, in the markets, she raises her voice. See, wisdom is not a luxury. It is an essential element of life. I believe this. Some people can live, you know, I'm just a simple man, and I'm a simple guy. But God wants this simple guy to be wise. And if I'm going to get through this life in a way that God has ordained it to be, I can't do it without wisdom. But sometimes people think, well, I'm a simple person, so I don't have to have a lot of wisdom. Nothing could be further from the truth. Wisdom is not a luxury. It's not something that is edged out just for a select few. It's for everyone. And it is essential to navigate this life with skill. We find this about wisdom. Wisdom is intentional. Wisdom is not accidental. It's not just going to jump and fall into us. It has to be something that is intentional. And then also, wisdom is purposed. It is filled with steps that God has called us to apply. Not just know about, but to actively move in. And also this, wisdom is willful. We cannot grow in wisdom without having a strong will to walk in the manner in which God has offered. And then this other aspect of wisdom, wisdom is planned. And while I was preparing for this message, something came to mind, and I may get in trouble sharing this illustration, but I want to do it anyway. And I can do it because my son's in Arizona, so... But it's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. You know, if I'm going to look like a granddaddy, I want to be a granddaddy. Is that fair to say? And one thing that helps you become a granddaddy is when a marriage takes place. And my son, Benjamin, very determined young man. And I was like, he told me when he moved to Phoenix, first thing he got, I said, he's going to get him a wife in Phoenix. I'm serious. But he got him a dog. And he loves that dog. That dog's still walking right now. And one day someone asked Benjamin his age. And I don't know about you guys. As you start to get older, I didn't keep up with my age as I started to get older. I'm talking about even in like my late 20s and 30s. Anybody else here forget how old they are? Yeah, okay. So someone asked Benjamin how old he was, and he said 28. And then it dawned on him, no, you ain't 28. You're 29. And all of a sudden, in his mind, he thought he had determined will, purpose, intentional, that he would be married by the time he was 30. So, man, things began to change. Purpose to find a wife rose up. It wasn't an accidental wait now. It was an intentional, willful, a planned strategy. And the boy was married within a year. He found his beautiful wife, Jay Lee. And I look at it this way. Some people say, I will wait for the fullness of wisdom. If we set wisdom on hold, we will never be wise. Wisdom is planned. It is purposed. It is not accidental. It is willful. Wisdom cries aloud in the streets, in the markets. She raises her voice. Wisdom is shouting out to humanity, saying, hey, you need to listen. You need to be wise in this life. And the question again, do you hear or listen to the call of wisdom? There's a difference. I know it's out there time and time. I hear it. But am I stopping and focused upon the message that wisdom seeks to give? See, God is intentional that you gain his wisdom. We look at the verse 20 again. Wisdom isn't so. It cries aloud, listen, I'm calling out. She raises her voice. God's wisdom is loud. Are you listening? And I say that to myself. Are you intentional in your pursuit of wisdom? Do you raise the volume of wisdom so that you may listen clearly? I promise you this. We have an unseen God, right? That has unseen angels. We have an unseen foe that has unseen demons. And it's all happening all around us. And if we're going to navigate this thing called life, we must be skilled in wisdom. That's what wisdom really means, is skilled, active ability, not of ourselves, but of what God has deposited in us. And Satan is going to raise volumes. He's going to make those streets noisy so that we do not respond to wisdom's call. You ever been in a place where everybody's trying to be heard and volumes just get louder and louder and louder? That is what wisdom is contending with. That is what we are contending with. If we're going to listen to wisdom, there's other volumes that must be suppressed, must be lowered. We must first hear before we can listen. Now, here's another question. God's speaking that wisdom right to you. It's a personal message that God has destined right to you. Can you hear it? For some, where do I find it? They'll search a church out, and they'll go to a church, and church ain't enough. It's not enough. They'll read a Christian book that's popular, Purpose-Driven Life, or something, you know, that goes way back, but the hit book at the time. And they'll finish it, but it's not enough. We are empowered by the Spirit of wisdom, called the Holy Spirit. And daily, the Spirit beckons us to draw into God's Word so that the Word can come alive to feed us wisdom. And no better place to begin than the book of Proverbs. See, Proverbs was not intended to be read once and forgotten. It is to be walked through as much as we possibly can. Many people choose to use Proverbs according to the chapter, 31 chapters, through their journey each day. Match a chapter to the day. And they enter it not with a repetitive habit in the sense of just getting through it. They go there listening, lowering volumes of other voices, intensifying the volume of the call of wisdom, and listening for what the Holy Spirit will reveal for the application of that day. We must hear before we can listen. So hearing, no greater way than to come before the Word of God. That's why Satan doesn't want you to read your Bible. That's why the enemy wants us as far away from the Word as possible. He will load us up in church as long as we stay away from the Bible. Lessen the voices that clutter our hearing. To raise the volume of wisdom, we must turn other voices down. Let's look again, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 21. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gates, she speaks. Wisdom is what? Calling. Can you hear wisdom? The streets are noisy. If we fail to hear wisdom, the fault lies upon us, no one else. Well, you don't know what they put me through. So I backed away. That's not a good excuse. Is it real? Yes. Hurt separates us from life-giving elements. But we must gain healing, and God is all about healing. If we fail to listen to wisdom, the fault lies on no one else but us. It doesn't matter how hard we were hit by someone that should be a nurturer rather than a disturber or a person of destruction. It doesn't matter. I mean, it hurts in that matter. But it is not the reason for us to walk away and to unplug from the skill to get through that. And that is what wisdom is seeking to do. Wisdom will sound out loud and clear. Wisdom will overcome the noisy streets of life. You and I have the ability by God to raise the volume of wisdom so that we can hear it. No matter the voices that are shouting against us. Verse 21 again. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gates, she speaks. Wisdom's call is directed at every man, at all mankind. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gates, she speaks. She's not just speaking in church, right? She's speaking in life. So people that are walking the streets, and if that's where they want to make their home and establish their roots, it's no excuse to miss wisdom. Because God is invading every part of life, and wisdom is calling out loud. And here we see it is crying to the city gates. At the city gates, the leaders gathered to make judgment. And in our lives, what standard guides or determines our judgment? Now, I think we can see that loud and clear with the leaders that we have now, right? Whose wisdom is guiding their judgment? Whose knowledge is guiding the things that direct their judgment? We, as a country, had the beautiful ability to say, "In God we trust." The Ten Commandments were exalted, and in schools, God, His truths were established and taught, at least in my generation. And now we see at the city gates, in those that govern us, God has, in many, has no place at all. And there are other voices where the volume has been turned up and screams louder than what wisdom is trying to place within their hearts. And we'll see that as we journey. Wisdom brings order to a city. Whose wisdom is ordering our country's life and our personal life? See, I love this description of wisdom. Wisdom is divine energy. That's what it is. It's like this. Anybody can say that God is their Lord, that Jesus is the Lord of their lives. But proof of that is seen in that power that guides their life. Wisdom is authority and power. It is the authority and power of God that is set in the right place. Wisdom cannot be obtained without fear of who? Fear of God. If fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, without that, there is another authority that is taking its place within us. And we see that in our country, and we see the decisions that are being made, and it's frightening. But here's the thing. Man does not rule your heart. Right? Man does not rule your soul. Man can only rule that which you relinquish unto him. Now, we're living in a time where we have liberty to do things that we want to do, but those days are quickly fading. Fear not. For the authority and power of man can't touch your soul. Fear not, the authority and power of man cannot change the destiny that God has seated in you. Do not listen to the wisdom of man, listen to the wisdom of God. For the wisdom of man will tell you all kinds of things and will change things up and tell you don't trust in God's word. Don't believe what God said. Those are ancient words that are morphed and changed by culture and society. No, no, no. Not at all. In young heart, God has formed you and made you and has destined you to be formed in His image. And youthfulness is a joyful expression to God, and it is to be guarded because that which God establishes in us as young people is a foundation that is built upon. So don't let the slyness of man win your heart. They call it influencers, right? Social influencers. People that are lifted up as people of substance or people of attention. But they're propped up to knock us down. They're propped up because man thinks we're foolish enough to lift some voice higher than God. They use fame to get our attention. They use power to get our attention. They use money to get our attention. But we are not fools. We are not. For we know the voices that we are to allow to influence our life. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, right? The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Wisdom is a divine energy that's available to man. Without applied wisdom, there is no power of God within, no matter how religious we look. Without applied wisdom, there is no divine power active in us. Wisdom applied is divine energy of God alive within us. Let's look again at verse 21. At the head of the noisy street, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gate, she speaks. Do our leaders listen as wisdom speaks? They're making laws right now. They're determining how they think our perspective should be. Are they listening to the cry of wisdom? And if they're not, we will not be manipulated to follow them. We will not establish any quarter for them. Are we listening to the cry of wisdom? See, God's promise of wisdom is before you. How will you respond to this cry of hope? Because God is looking to say, I'm crying out. Wisdom has lifted her voice, even in the busy streets, the noisy streets. She's calling out. Are you responding? Are you listening? And then verse 22 takes us down a unique road here. What happens if we neglect the call of wisdom? How long, O simple ones, will you love being, say that with me, simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? Remember what we said a little bit ago? That some people glory in just being simple. And it's almost like a false humility. I can only know so much. So what does that really mean? I'm not pursuing anymore. I got enough to get me through, so I don't really need any more encounters with wisdom. Meaning, the deposit that God wants to give is endless. And it is not a pressure. It is not a test. It is a deposit of the skills that He wants to place in us. Father to Son. The Lady of Wisdom, that relationship of wisdom, God wants it daily in our lives, and He wants it ever building upon building upon wisdom. Wisdom is layered by layer by layer. And if we say, Lord, too much is going on this week, I'll step back from the deposit that you want to give me. There's consequences in that. There's missed opportunities in that. And so wisdom cries out, how long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? I want you what? Wise. I want you alert. I want you aware. I want you as a deposit of my divine energy. Because if anything this world needs right now, is some wise people walking in the streets, right? If anything that this world needs right now is some wise people at the city gates. And who has God chosen to be those wise people? His church. No matter if they say you can't meet, stay away, shut down, stay home, we'll send you a check, right? Canada right now, pastors have been jailed for having service. A couple of Sundays ago, a church in Canada was lined by two barricades of fences because the people said, we will gather and we will honor God. They said, Pastor, you can get out of jail if you promise not to let all these people in your church. He says, can't do that. And he stayed in jail week after week after week. Well, a couple of Sundays ago, after they not only put the fences around that church and put covering on it so that you couldn't see through it. So I guess if you put the fences around, you could still see the what? The building. But if you put the fiber banner around it, that you couldn't see it. A church that normally averaged about 300 people in attendance had, I think it was a couple of thousand people showed up on the lawn to give honor to God. To pick a fight? No. Some maybe were there to pick a fight. I will be at the feet of where wisdom flows. Father, Son, Holy Ghost, the Word of God, the gathering of the saints to encourage one another, all more as that day approaches. And the day is upon us. And it's time to grow. Grow up in wisdom, O church. How long will scoffers delight in scoffing and fools hate knowledge? What does it mean to be a scoffer? A scoffer is someone that boasts in their ability. One that is puffed up in pride. They can be as religious as you want them to be, but they are filled with a boastful spirit. And in our world, man's knowledge has exalted itself before the knowledge of God. And the Word of God told us the highest knowledge of man is foolishness unto God's knowledge. Scoffers boast. And not only that, scoffers scorn. They belittle that which is of wisdom. How do they separate themselves from the place of pure wisdom? They call it names and they devalue it by their labeling. For some, look at that word church and all they see is disdain. Simple is what they see, when all along the fullness of wisdom abides in the hearts of the true body of Christ at levels that no IQ of man could ever reach. You want knowledge? Seek wisdom. Scoffers boast, they scorn, and they mock. You know, you may have accepted some standards in your life, and I'm speaking to myself as well, because the world has mocked the church in such a level that it reached deep into your heart. And it changed your perspective of the value of the church. The world hates Jesus. The world hates the church. And the mocking is an attempt to chip away at its value. We see this also back in verse 22, how long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? And that image of what a fool is this: unwise confidence. It's believing that I have arrived. There's nothing else that can teach me. I am at a place now where I'm filled with all that I need to be filled with, and it's confidence in the knowledge that is generated from the fallen heart. And let me tell you this, it is bold, it is strong, but it is what? Foolish. What happens when a country is led by fools? What happens? But in that country, the country is not made by, but let me put it this way, the country is not the leaders. The country is the people. And as long as we are content to be led by fools, what will we become? Is that unfair to say? Should we have standards in those that lead us? Because if you repeat a lie long enough, it becomes the truth to hearts. But if you repeat the word long enough, it can be seasoned in the heart and it can be unleashed with that divine power of wisdom where that active application of the word of God is seen in the skilled gift of knowledge living out in the life of individuals. That's what we have. We have knowledge, wisdom that is skill for living. We must not allow any other voices to come and determine what right and wrong is. For when we do that, we embrace unwise confidence, which brings the reality of a foolish heart. And one thing I know, I do not want to be a fool. And I don't want to be fooled. Is that fair to say? Yeah. And no better place for liberty to come than at the feet of the giver of wisdom, the Father, the Son. Sit before your Father and allow wisdom to come. Let that call of Lady Wisdom be something that you hear. May we not be people that reject divine wisdom. The rejection of God's wisdom is seen in the acts of the mocker and the fool, the scoffer. Verse 23. This is a promise. If you turn at my reproof, please embrace this. Behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you. This is the call of wisdom to say, reproof is coming because wisdom is an act of love. The call of wisdom is an act of grace and love. And if we respond, we respond by embracing that reproof, by turning and realigning ourselves to the call that wisdom seeks, the actions that wisdom seeks within us. And then the fruit of this is amazing to me. I will pour out my spirit to you. Got the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost filled. See you tomorrow. Right? Right? See you next Sunday. I feel it. It's there. Well, it ain't there just to give us feelings, right? He is not there just to give us feelings. I will make my words known to you. A knower of wisdom is someone that applies wisdom. Or let me put it this way. Unless you know, you can't apply. So God takes that excuse right out. He says, reproof comes, turn. Come to my word with this mentality. God, open my understanding. Pour that spirit of wisdom in me. And show me how these words apply so that what? I can be skilled with them. not for my glory, but for your glory and for my family, for my church family, for my society, my country. Live wisdom. Live wisdom. Just don't shut and mute the mouth and nod the head to foolish leaders. You know, wisdom builds upon wisdom. That's good. But foolishness builds upon foolishness. Listen to wisdom so that the spirit of wisdom can be poured out into your life. And then the question we end with today, do you hear or listen to the call of wisdom? You know, I think there's a fair assessment of that. And it's seen by our position in our daily life. Let me say that again. Do you hear or listen to the call of wisdom? And I think the reveal of that, the answer to that question, is seen through the position of our daily life. How are we postured to listen and savor wisdom's call? How? Is the word of God before us? Is the heart pliable so that more of that spirit of wisdom can be poured out? Are we believing that we have an appointment with wisdom? For the enemy will come and say, you're simple. It doesn't matter. Just get through this thing called life. Just forge through it the best way you can. God says, the best way you can is with my wisdom. And this is what I love about wisdom so much. It flows from every heart. And it don't matter how good you speak. It doesn't matter what your degree is. Doesn't matter if you have a learning disability. Doesn't matter if you're so little, you don't hardly know how to tie your shoes. Wisdom can flow through you. Amen. And that's God's delight. That's God's delight. You know how it is. That's my boy, right? That's my son. That's my daughter, right? You know what it's like when your kids respond in a way that, hallelujah. I get blessed. Austin sometimes will allow me to hear his creations that he's been working on. And I sit there and I'm listening. That's my son. And his music's beautiful. Let's make God glad by letting his wisdom speak through us this week. And being positioned to hear his wisdom. If we can bow in prayer this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Father, you have given us more than enough to live this life in a skilled way, a wise way. And we thank you. We thank you for that. And we are reminded today as we partake of the Lord's table, we enter into this time of communion. We thank you, Jesus, that you paid it all so that we could have it all. All that flows from the heart of God so that we get through with wisdom in this life and we enjoy the eternity that's ahead. And Lord, no eye has seen, no ear has heard what you have prepared for those that love you. It's coming. Oh, it's coming, Lord. And we thank you for what's ahead. Church, as we prepare our hearts now for communion, the Lord wants us, before we partake of these elements, to look deep within our heart. If there's things that we need to repent of, that we would willfully do that unto God as we celebrate this remembrance that Jesus died for our sins to set us free. Thank you, Jesus.